Hello, George. Good afternoon and welcome
Hey.
to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm very pleased to be joined by George this afternoon, who is here to speak with us about his experience of participating in the Empty Teacup Challenge. Welcome, George.
Well, thank you, Jen. It's good to finally be in contact.
We did have a few technical challenges, didn't we? But
yeah.
We made it.
Yes, here
we are.
We
persevered.
We persevered. Perseverance furthers. Yeah.
Right, and you know, it's such a good thing, right? It's just like practice, where if we're willing to just hang in there, especially with
yeah.
a good attitude, it always works out.
Yeah. It does.
Yeah.
Whether we think it does or not.
That's right.
Whether conditioned mind thinks it does or not, I guess.
That's exactly right. And we
yeah.
learn to turn away from that, which is exactly what the Empty Teacup Challenge was about, or is about, isn't it?
Yeah.
So maybe you could tell us a little bit about your experience of participating thus far.
Well, yeah, I wanted to tell you about something that, a practice that I came upon by, first
mm-hmm.
of all, reading something from the Abraham materials, which come online every day, and this is what came over. It said, if you will release all concern about how others feel about you
mm-hmm.
and focus only on how you feel about them,
mm-hmm.
you will come to know who you really are, and you will discover what true freedom really is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I first read that and I said, well, now, wait a minute, how do I feel about others? And of course, conditioned mind says, well, you feel all kinds of different ways about others now, don't you?
Right.
And I said, wait a minute, no, that's not true at all.
Yeah.
You know,
it's not at all what's being pointed at. Yeah,
it's mm-hmm. yeah, that's the illusion of separation. And
that's right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
that's not our practice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what I feel about them is unconditional loving acceptance. Why would I want to feel any other way?
Exactly, exactly so. And conditioning has a lot of opinions, but that has nothing to do with me.
No, exactly. So
yeah.
so I said, what a great practice.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, I often find myself in a situation where I'm wondering what other people think about me, or I'm
mm-hmm.
concerned about what other people think about me, or I
mm-hmm.
try to say the right things or make the right move so that other people will accept me, or,
mm-hmm.
you know, mm-hmm. all of the game, the ego games that ego plays,
mm-hmm.
you know, seduction or whatever.
Right.
You know, beyond that, it's just a matter of being, I guess the best words are being the presence of love and joy.
Mm. Being the presence of love and joy.
Yeah.
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 And which really requires, yeah, go ahead. Uh-huh.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, which really requires the I to not be there, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
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 Which is the, you know, what I love about what you're saying, George, is that it just feels like, it's certainly my experience, that as we practice and we start to move around in our lives in that perspective, from that perspective, and then our days are filled with seeing connections like that. Oh, I read this thing, and that, oh, that's pointing to the same thing, and oh, I see this, and you know, my experience is,
yeah.
you know, when I'm out in the world, I notice similarities, and I notice what I love about this or about that person or about, and it calls forth in us exactly that place that I project you're pointing at with that quote of, we're called outside of me. You know, all that stuff that fills up the teacup, what I like, what
yeah.
I don't like,
yeah.
what I want,
yeah.
what I don't want.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's called, bliss is one word for it.
Yeah.
You're just in a constant state of loving kindness. which is a constant state of, you know, bliss, joy, presence, and that's what you are. That's if there's a you, you know, that's what you are. It's sort of like allowing that to flow through you, being the conduit or the, you know, the connection that allows that to flow through, which, of course, and it's in such abundance that we don't have to make it up. We don't have to do anything. All we have to do is allow it. And it's there in abundance. And it's just so much fun.
It is so much fun. I could not agree more. And you know what's so fun about it too, George, is that, you know, there are those days where we feel like the way we're talking today. You're in it, you feel it, it's great, it's right there, it all feels fantastic. And then there are those other days where that conditioned perspective does come in. You know, well, I'll tell you how you feel about people and, you know, all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I think one of the things that's so brilliant about Bridgewalk season in particular is it's such a tangible way to have the support of getting the focus off of me. That, you know, we always have a practice team during the Bridgewalk, or we have for the last several years. And to have that practice theme, which is of huge benefit to each of us, right, in our own practice, and that when we hit those places that are difficult, where conditioning rises up to resist, that we have that extra, no, because I'm doing this for the love of those kids and that team in Cantalumba that's doing this every day. And so it's for me, it's just that extra pull me up out of myself kind of place.
Yes, yes, exactly. Yeah, because, when, quote, things go wrong, unquote, according to conditioned mind, things get triggered in our right. You know, psyches that go very deep into the past and, you know, egocentric karmic conditioning, which is like the karmic cloud, you know, there's stuff there that I don't think that process ever ends completely. And so we do get caught in that sometimes. But when we, like you say, when we turn to our practice and we pull out, you know, we pull out our practice and, you know, all of a sudden, oh, we're somewhere else.
Exactly. And that's why we call it practice, because it is that movement. So to link those two things of, you know, here's our year-long focus of emptying the teacup so that we can be filled with that experience that I project you're talking about. You know, I can feel it as you're talking about it. But we can have that life experience to link that up with, you know, the deep care and partnership that we have with this group of folks, you know, halfway around the world, is just adds that extra really fun element.
That is such an incredible part of living compassion. I mean, every time I tune into that, and I actually, my world has been in other worlds, other circles for the most part, but whenever I do, it really brings tears to my eyes. I mean, it's just so beautiful. And, you know, and it's a blessing in both directions. You know,
Yeah, exactly right. I was just talking with Teresa the other day. And, you know, it was really last year, not of our doing at all, but the team there, they've always sort of paralleled, they've known about the Bridgewalk, and they honor it on their side too. But last year, they just took it up a notch. They had such a good time. And so when I've been talking to Teresa lately, she said, we are so excited, Jen. Just doing all their plans. And she said how the girls in the girls program are busy writing poems to recite on the day of the walk to talk about the gratitude of what's happened for them in the last year in the girls program. Yeah. So it's really fun.
Oh, I guess I have to go there.
I think so. I just can't highly recommend it enough. It's a bit like, you know, we say coming on retreat, where we have all these far-flung opportunities and stop, drop, and text and email classes, and it's amazing how much practice we can do and how we can feel like we're right there involved on a day-to-day basis, and we are, and it's not the same as being there in person.
Yeah.
Well, George, we're coming up on the hour, so anything else you wanted to add before we end?
Well, I'd just like to reemphasize this great practice of being that presence of love and joy for other people, and not giving a damn what they think about you.
In other words,
or whatever it is, it's not part of the practice. You know, it just doesn't not important. They're going to think whatever they think, and we have no control over that whatsoever. And so, but we know that we're the presence of love and joy for them, unconditional acceptance, loving.
Exactly, because it's not even about quote them, because the rumor we are in practice is there is no such thing, right? it's only this.
It's all made up.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
All right, George. Well, thank you so much for persevering and being with us this afternoon.
Yeah, you too, Jen.
Okay. Take good care.
Okay, bye.
Okay. Goodbye. All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, George. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
I think I have my homework already from that good news.
I think me too. That was good, huh?
Yes, to be a presence of loving kindness and being more concerned about what I'm bringing than what I project other people are thinking of me.
Yes, to get me out of it. What a relief.
Yes.
How relaxing, huh?
Yes, totally. Totally.
Yeah. It's good. It's good.
And how
are
you
doing? Oh, I'm good. Good.
I'm
you?
Great. Yes, I'm great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Enjoying life, looking forward to all the fun things that are coming up. I was, I had a chance to, had a chance today, actually, yes, there's the bridge walk, which I'm excited about, and then, you know, other things that you're going to mention, but I was getting to work a little bit on the email class, and so that was fun. So as was mentioned, and, of course, the point that Jen and George made, very, very important. We have all these far-flung things, but there's nothing like being there in person, right? So.
Yes. Yes.
I'm glad I get to do all of that.
Yes. Yes. And when you mentioned communication, what dropped in is that communication is a window on my mind. Pretty obviously, whether I'm coming from conditioned mind or from a more centered place.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Yes. And it's so fun, isn't it, when we see that, when we realize that, to realize how thoroughly we are conditioned not to pay attention to the process, right? So, I'm in conversation with somebody, and I'm focused on whether or not I like what they're saying, or, as was spoken about before, you know, well, what do they think of me as I'm saying whatever it is that I'm saying? And there's no attention to what's the process that's going on here? So, much is revealed in turning our attention to the how of conversation, the how of communication.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm very much looking forward to the email class. I think it's going to be fascinating.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah. And we have a few fascinating fun things coming up before then.
Yes, thank you for that brilliant lead-in. There are only 3 days left to sign up for the next quarter of Reflective Listening Buddies. This powerful support for conscious, compassionate awareness requires participants to show up weekly to practice being present. And a new quarter begins October 15th.
Mm-hmm. The very day of the
Bridge Walk, where we will gather in San Francisco for the 15th annual Golden Gate Bridge Walk to benefit the Africa Vulnerable Children's Project. You don't want to miss this exciting and joy-filled Sangha experience. And
15th annual. Uh-huh.
15th annual. And even though the deadline to receive a T-shirt has passed, you can still register to attend the event in person or donate your registration to support the project.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You know, when we just said that, I can remember, I think that I'm remembering this correctly. My, you know, memory is a shaky, shaky thing for me at the best of times. But we were in Mountain View at a Zen center that I'm sure you remember too, that was off of Castro Street behind a restaurant in a parking lot.
Yeah.
And there we all were gathered and we were putting all this stuff up on the walls, remember, and coming up with what we were going to, we should have Jen for this, but what we were going to do, and we thought maybe we were just going to get completely crazy, completely just so far out there, we were going to try to raise $25,000 in this campaign. And,
yes.
Yeah, and we did, and it shocked us so much. Yeah, and then what has come as a result of that? My goodness gracious, it's just extraordinary. I think about all of the people over the years who have participated and helped and contributed, and who have gone and helped on the ground with the project, but just hundreds, thousands who have donated, sponsored children and donated to the project and supported it for all these years. It's just such a marvelous thing, such a debt of gratitude that, for everybody's contribution. So, a lot to celebrate.
Yes, a lot to celebrate. And until the Bridge Walk day, accept the Empty Teacup Challenge and catch conditioning in the act of bamboozling. And record how many bamboozles you're spotting on the Teacup Challenge page at the Living Compassion website. Yes. And join you, Sherry, for an enjoyable and interactive workshop debunking the extremely popular and age-old myth of too busy, not enough time.
Mm-hmm.
This workshop will be held October 22nd at the beautiful Namaste Retreat Center in Felton, California, in the San Francisco Bay Area. And all proceeds and donations will benefit the Africa Vulnerable Children Project.
Yes.
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 And as we were talking about earlier, Sherry, you will guide participants through a fun and profound email class on communication beginning October 25th. Mm-hmm. This class is an opportunity to discover your style of communication and become aware of how the ego orientation muddles connection.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And for these and other opportunities, visit schedule.livingcompassion.org.
Yes.
Yes.
Wow. Already October. There's a way in which it seems like it was just you know, a couple of months ago that we were there in Belmont with the sisters kicking off the year. And on the other hand, it feels like it was years ago.
Yes.
Do you know? I mean, so much has happened since then, this whole teacup year. It's extraordinary.
I know exactly what you mean.
Mm-hmm.
And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can make Gas Show by pressing *6 and then 1. And a focus on one topic, please, and about 5 minutes is really helpful. And I think we're ready to go here, Sherry.
I think so. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Lakota from the Northwest.
From the Great Northwest.
Great Northwest.
How are you?
So good. living in the whoosh.
I just heard a rumor. I just heard a rumor about you.
Mm-hmm. I think I can
confirm
it. You're
going to join us? Yeah, you're going to join us for the bridge walk and beyond?
Yes, I'm so excited. I can't wait to participate in person with you all again. And I'm so grateful.
Been too long.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it's been a long time. It's been a long time. And, you know, that was part of why I wanted to call in tonight. You know, I don't have anything really in particular to, you know, an issue to look at or anything like that, but it's been a long time. And you know, if a person were to just, judge based on radio show participation, you might think that I'd fallen off the face of the earth, but I just want to say I'm right here. And I've been here all along, completely participating wholeheartedly from wherever I'm at. And it's just been amazing. It's been awesome, you know, following along with the radio show archives and with the recordings of group at the monastery. And then I love the fundraiser. It's like, I've just been having so much fun with it. It's such, I think I've talked about this in the past, but it's just one of those experiences that it's pure goodness. It's just pure joy. There's nothing in it for ego. There's just nowhere for it to get its greasy little hands in there. You know, it's kind of that experience too of we'll do for the love of others what we wouldn't be willing to do for ourselves. That, you know, every year I'm going to show up and I'm going to participate wholeheartedly in this fundraiser, in this campaign, for the love of these little people, for the love of, you know, our community over in Cantalumba, for the love of our Sangha and this group of people that, you know, gets so lit up in this. I mean, there's nothing in it but goodness, and every little bit of it lights me up, and it's kind of been a guiding light that's kind of pulled me through the busy summer months, and been a great joy.
Oh, good. So it sounds like, even though I know you've been very away and isolated, not fortunately, it sounds like, by the voices, but you've been at a distance, you still can have access to the things that support your practice, even though you can't, we can't hear your voice or we can't see you, but you have the archives and the recordings from the groups at the monastery and that sort of thing, and so you are going right along with us, even though we may not know it.
It's truly one of my favorite things about this practice is the vast number of different kinds of supports and just how much support there is in general for a person who who's dedicated to practicing wholeheartedly out in the world. It's kind of infinite, you know. I mean, as much of my day as I choose can be completely immersed in and buoyed up by practice, and it's just great. And of course, there's the beauty of the mentor and recording and listening that's in the pocket always.
Yes.
It's just right there.
Yeah.
So
yeah, we're never alone, are we? That process that egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, uses so effectively to ruin so many lives, of pulling somebody off into isolation and then just working away at them, just torturing them in isolation. And as you say, if we choose to, we can be supported around the clock. We're just finishing up the revision of the fear book, and what we're doing is adding recording and listening to the fear book, because of course it was written way before recording and listening was such a thing in our practice, and just writing about the possibility of so many people suffer from insomnia and being tortured in the night, and that with recording and listening you can have that mentoring, that loving kindness and support as you sleep, right? And people talk about, waking up into a reassuring recording that's playing in their ears, and how they find that they have kinder, more gentle dreams because they're listening to all of this this loving, supporting information all night long. So, yeah, if a person wants to, We can be supported around the clock.
Around the clock. Amen. And I can I can definitely attest to that practice, too. That's something that I've done at various points over the years, is those amazing, supportive, reassuring recordings that I listen to all night long through sleep. And it gets to the point where, and it is to the point now, too, where I still will do it, especially if there's something that there's, anxiety or there's a story going on. But a lot of times, too, it's amazing. I found that now, naturally, even if I don't sleep with the earbuds in, I wake up to the voice of the mentor loving me and reassuring me. And it's just, it feels like something has been kind of, in some level, kind of rewired in there, that there's new channels and there's a different kind of information that's available.
Yes, yes. Well, and when you say it like that, Lakota, science is backing it up now, right? In fact, I remember years ago, Dr. Jeffrey Schwartz, I think that was his name, when he did his book, The Mind and the Brain, and he with the imaging, proved that within 4 months, pathways in the brain will change through directing the attention. And so, yes, there's no reason to think that we can't completely reconfigure everything about us with that kind of concerted, focused attention.
It's just amazing. It's amazing. And I love what you're always saying, too, that what you practice is what you have. So it's not that, I get to this point where, wow, I'm having these amazing results and life is so good, so I'm going to go on vacation and stop doing this practice.
I think I'll go unconscious for a while.
I'm kind of glad I've actually had the experience of doing that enough times to know, like, that doesn't work.
Yeah. That's not really a vacation.
I'm just going to stick right with it and stay pedal to the metal, because that's where the good stuff's at. So, thank you.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
It really is true. And just the other point with that to reinforce, that the biggest difficulty that most of us experience as conditioned human beings is finding the willingness to do this, right?
Yeah.
So the conditioning would have us believe that, oh, it's really hard. You can't do this. It's really hard and it's complicated, and you could just never do that. Now it's to the point where it is so simple. It's here's the kind of recording that you need. Here's how to make the recording. Here's how to use the recording. And now what I have to face is, but there's this, I don't want to, and I am addicted to that resistance. Now the work is getting past the resistance, right? And once we do that, then
I love it when you laid it out like that, because that's so, when now we have this thing that is so obviously useful, and there's just no excuses not to do it, because it's so easy.
Yes.
I mean, it literally takes two minutes. So it really puts, it puts resistance in that spotlight. Like, okay, if it's so easy and I know it works so well, if there is resistance, it's just so clear what that is. That's ego,
yes.
You know, wanting me to not have the life experience of my heart's deepest desire. That's all.
Yes, that's it. Yeah, that's it. I love it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. I'll see you in a little bit.
See you in a couple of weeks.
Okay. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Lakota. That was a fun conversation, Sherry.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it really does. It makes it so clear that that's what we have to tackle is do I really want to be happy? Do I want to be free? Do I want to let go of the drama? You know, the title of the workshop, you know, I'm too busy, I don't have enough time. The book, I don't want to, I don't feel like it. You know, all those ego statements that keep people in suffering, it really, the question is, do I want to stop doing that? Do I want to do this very simple thing that will free me?
Yeah, it's a great question. Great question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's not a question for self-hate to grab hold of, although it probably will. But that can be a great place in practice too. When I know how to end suffering, I know that it's really simple, doesn't cost anything, and I could do it. I have plenty of time. I have all the energy that I need. There's nothing stopping me except I'm addicted to this voice in my head that controls my behavior. Am I ready to take it on? Well, if the answer is actually I'm not, okay. But then, you know, at least what I think I'm obligated to do is say, and so what I get is I'm choosing this, so I'm going to quit complaining about my life, right? Because clearly it's what I'm choosing. If I didn't want to be having this experience, I would be choosing a different experience, which I can do because I know how to do that. Then the voices, you know, want to start beating you up for what kind of a person, but, and okay, well, then we'll go through that until I get to the point of I don't want to put up with this any longer. I'm not listening to that, and I know how not to. So we really can't lose.
Yes, yes. Great point. Great point.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And we have another call here, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi there. My name is Laura.
Hello, Laura.
Hi.
What's
really
going
cool.
on?
I think first I just have been wanting to call in and just thank you for the practice. It's been an awesome thing in my life. It's just improved and changed my life in every aspect, my relationships, my parenting, my job, my relationships with my family, my sister, you know, just everybody. And nobody had to do anything or change anything about how they were doing it. It was, I don't know, something huge has just shifted in me. And I just really want to let you know that I appreciate that. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I just want to stop here and underline that because that is so big, isn't it? Conditioning wants us to believe that there are all these problems, right? These people, and you have problems with these people and in these relationships, and there's your kids, and there's work, and there's all this stuff going on. And then there's this shift that happens in you.
Yeah.
And suddenly, everything is completely different.
Yeah, it really is. And even... Even recently, I got, you know, real busy, and I set practice aside, and without even realizing it, conditioning crept back in really hard, and all of a sudden, I just couldn't stand my husband. was just like,
he just became an obnoxious bore all of a sudden.
Yeah, just like, oh, I wish he would just stop this. I can't stand it when he does this. And then I was like, oh, I need to listen to Open Air, which I listen to your archives often. That's probably one of my main practice right now is going to the Open Air archives. So I started listening to them, and it just all started sinking back in, and then it just made complete sense. And then before I know it, everything's back in. I can breathe
He got himself straightened out again.
Then I can love my husband
He
again.
Became a nice guy.
Yeah, so, I guess I do have a question. It's been coming up for me the past couple of weeks I've recognized how much conditioning affected my life before I knew it, and how it affected my relationships, and in particular, I'm talking about my first marriage. And this was probably 12 years ago now, 12 years ago. At the time, I thought that my husband was abusive, and I think he wasn't very nice. We'll just say that he wasn't nice, but, I think in my head I created a story that it was a lot worse than maybe what it was, my self-hate and all those other things did not help the relationship. You know what I mean? Now that I'm thinking back at it, I feel an urge to almost my ex-husband and I have a very good relationship now in that we have a 11-year-old together. We have a son together, and we have a very good working parenting relationship. So sometimes I have an urge to just apologize. I think maybe it was my fault, or I wasn't the same person then, which I'm sure he can probably tell I'm a different person now than what I was then. But
and is he a different person now than he was then?
Yeah, I think so. In some ways, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
It is what happens, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can see that everywhere around us. I mean, it's not 100%, obviously, because there are some people, as far as we can tell, who seem to be going backwards, right?
Mm-hmm.
But for most people, it is a process of learning and growing. And we wish that we could learn and grow in really easy, kind, loving ways.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not how most of us do it. And we go through really hard, painful places together. And we see things and learn things and realize things, and we're different. I had a friend once who he talked about relationships a lot, and he always talked about them as vehicles. You know, a relationship is something that takes you from one place to another. And he was talking spiritually. And that made perfect sense to me. It did seem like that's the way it goes. And he always regretted, he said it's lamentable that we don't approach it completely like that, so that when we've gotten to where we need to go together, we can just say, thanks, great trip, and part company. That usually it has to be, there has to be something wrong with the other person to justify our leaving, when it could just be that we completed what we had to complete together, and it was just time to move on.
Right. Yeah. I like that.
And I always find it fascinating with children. That notion that karmically people seem to get together to produce children. I don't mean that in a in a deeply spiritual way, right? These two parents are going to produce this being, and they're the only two people who could produce this being, right? And that's part of why they're together, is to produce this particular being. I don't know if there's any truth to that, but it certainly seems that way.
Yeah, I like that.
You have that with your son.
Yeah. I like that.
So the thing, Laura, that I would most encourage is no apologies.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, because that's the implication that somebody did something wrong. And if we get to that place of realizing how grateful we are for everything that happened that brought us to where we are now, then you can thank each other for the contribution, but not for anybody to take any blame.
Right. Yeah. And I will say we have come to the point where I can remember specifically, I don't know, in the past 6 months or so, I think I have thanked him, like, thank you for being a great parent and working together and being flexible and, you know, doing what we need to do to raise our son you know, so that has been my approach, is thanking him. So that's cool.
And that could be the point is for you to be parents together, not to be husband and wife.
Right. Great.
Those are very different relationships. To be partners together is one relationship. To be parents together is a very different relationship.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much.
Now, you're very welcome. Now, keep in mind, there's no truth in any of this. These are just speculations, right?
Well, that's good enough for me.
All right, good. Well, thank you for calling in. Thank you for being part of this. And now that you've realized how easy it is, we can talk again.
That would be great. Thank you very much.
You're most welcome. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Laura. And Sherry, it's time to hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be back to talk with more callers.
Wonderful. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. This is Esther.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fantastic. My God, I was so sure I was going to be the next one. It's so weird. I even closed the door to make sure I had the privileged environment. How strange.
Very
how beautiful.
Nice. Yes, well, this intuition thing is working, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't have to count the other 100 times when I felt that in the last weeks, but... when I didn't get on, you know. But today it worked. I have to report back about something.
Good. What's that?
So, do you remember that last time I called, we talked about men. Relationships.
Yes, I do remember that. Yep.
I started calling them men after you told me, because I was calling them boys before. But part of your advice...
I think I speculated that you would like to have a relationship with a man, not a boy.
Exactly. And so, I don't know if I should keep the suspense. Yes, I'll keep the suspense. So I tell you what happened, keeping the suspense.
Okay.
So, I started with my coach. Well, with my coach, I started a little bit before calling you to go on an online app for dating, not in order to find a boyfriend, but in order to see what conditioning had to say about it. So this went on for many weeks, and I've been dating some guys, all with the idea of hearing what the voices had to say. Then I heard your fantastic advice about taking it as a choosing a job, you know, looking for a job. So making a list of the things I would like or not like, you know. And now I break the suspense and I tell you that I have been in two relationships after my last call, the last of which I'm still in, and they're both being beautiful. Not at the same time, at different times, the two relationships.
Yes, I understand.
And both, so far, super nice and enriching and very ages away from all the drama I was describing when I called last time. Ah, and I never had a relationship before. This one, I mean, now is my second relationship ever.
Wow. Congratulations.
Isn't it amazing?
It is amazing. And it is such a testament to practice, isn't it?
Yes, I was going to say congratulations to practice. Yes, not to me. Yep. I mean, to us. Yes, isn't it fantastic?
Yes, because... What ego had you doing before was suffering over the idea of relationship, right? Just the whole thing was designed to make you miserable. In a way, it didn't have anything to do with relating or a relationship. It was just a subject to suffer over. Yeah?
Of course. It had nothing to do with the other person. Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah. And now, practicing coming back to center and using the subject of relationship as a kind of a workshop, right, as a practice opportunity, your ego doesn't have a chance to run the show any longer, and you found this nice fellow to be in relationship with.
Exactly.
Talk about a win-win, huh?
Exactly, and it's super interesting because now conditioning is coming up with, well, all the old stuff and a whole lot of new stuff about all this new situation. But it's so beautiful because I have the coach, I have the mentor, I have, I have all these fantastic things. So even if I'm sure I will, you know, fall for it from time to time, still I'm still enjoying it, you know.
Exactly. It's still a workshop, right? Life is
it
still
is.
A retreat. Right? That is such an important point. I'm not sure I've ever heard it made before. That what we're conditioned to do is believe that there is this thing called my life, right? And it should go in certain ways. And when it doesn't, then I have to do something like personal growth or awareness practice. Maybe I have to go to therapy. I have to do something so that I can fix myself and fix my life so that I can go back to just living my life. But if we realize life is a retreat, it's an awareness practice retreat. And in every moment, we have an opportunity to see either how suffering is going to happen or to choose being present moment by moment by moment by moment. So sometimes it's job, it's money, it's partner, relationship, kids, health, parents, society, whatever it is, but it's all happening in the retreat, the awareness retreat that is life.
Life, exactly. And, you know, I think you were telling it to a caller in some previous episode that, like, once you think you cover the karma, another thing came up, you know, comes up, you know. And
that's
it's
right.
Interesting because
right.
I think I'm the part of, oh, my God, nobody loves me. That was the previous one. It's still there, but much less. And I wasn't prepared for all the new karma because it's much easier to work with the old karma, you know. So the first,
yes.
You know, it's a new thing, you know.
Yes, yes, yes. You were familiar. You knew how to be with nobody loves me.
Exactly.
But you knew how to do that. Now you've got this guy, and now you're in this relationship. Holy rockets! What do you do with all of that stuff?
Exactly. And, you know, for example, conditioning started like one day after realizing that I was in a relationship, conditioning started saying, maybe this is not the right person for you. But it was cool because I realized it, you know. But it was weird how immediately there was a new game going on, you know.
Yes, yes. Yes, and that's what makes it so exciting, right? If we get it, that it's always going to be that way, that we're never going to get to a place where we can coast. We're just not. We are always going to have to keep pedaling. If we're coasting, we're going backwards, right? So we have
yes.
to keep moving forward, and that means... Okay, what now? What now? What now? What now? And here it comes,
hey,
right? This is the next thing for you to look
the
at.
The next thing.
The next thing to work through. Yep.
Exactly. And do you know how come I recognized it? Thanks to Sangha, because I heard so many people calling the radio show with similar situations that when I heard the voice in my brain, I recognized it, you know? So it's
yes.
impossible
yes.
for one... to recognize it alone, you know?
Oh, right. It would just be believable, right? If
exactly.
We didn't hear, yeah, yeah. If we didn't know everybody else is going through the same stuff, we would say, oh, it's just me. Yeah, there's something really wrong with me. I am messed up.
With him.
But when we
yeah,
realize,
it's just
no,
him.
Oh, that's just,
yeah.
what that's just what conditioning does. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's fun.
And then, I'm so thankful.
And then, as you say, it's like it's a game. Right? And the game starts being fun. You know, if you play tennis and you have somebody who hits the ball over at right to the exact spot where you can hit it back, I mean, that's fun for a little while. But
then it's
after
boring.
A while, you want to, it gets boring. You want a challenge. So let's get somebody who's going to hit it over there, and you have to run around a little bit. And now you need a backhand, and now you need a right? And that's what the awareness practice is like. We like a challenge. So what now?
Oh, it's so beautiful. Oh, it's so beautiful.
It really
I'm
is.
So thankful.
Yeah. Yes, me too. Good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you. See you at the bridge walk.
Really?
Yay! Yeah! I'm coming to the retreat
fabulous.
Next week and then at the bridge walk.
Fabulous. Oh, how exciting. I'm so glad.
Yes,
all right,
yes,
see you in a couple of weeks.
Yes, 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 yes. Big
right.
show and super thank you.
Good show to you, Isota. Good night.
Bye-bye.
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 Thanks for joining us, Isota. That was a fun conversation, Sherry.
Yeah. That's such an important point. It's easy for us to forget that we're not just getting through this stuff. We're not just surviving it. We're actually learning and growing and getting more free with every step along the path.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Yeah, it's great. It's great.
Yeah.
And we have another call here.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. It's Janice calling from the Northwest.
The even North or Northwest, but also the Great Northwest. How are you?
Oh, I'm okay. I'm a little up and down sometimes. I've got some physical stuff going on, and then I get these stories about this time of year. And so I guess as far as practice goes, it's a case of being very diligent about taking one day at a time and noticing all the body sensations and dropping the stories and noticing resistance and just
practicing.
Yeah, I really liked it when you said it's just the retreat of life.
Yeah, yeah. And sometimes the exercises we get are really challenging.
Yes, yeah. And kind of unexpected. There are certain things that, you know, I maybe make assumptions about, and then I see, oh, gosh. And then I kind of think, oh, it's always going to be that way now. And then that changes. So it's constant re-evaluation, but not from conditioning point of view.
That's right. That's right. That's the critical piece, isn't it? It's always staying present so that we're seeing with fresh eyes, right? Because even though it seems like, and conditioning would want us to believe, that it's the same thing, it's not. It's not the same thing. And we need to see it from that fresh perspective if we're going to be available and ready to receive the guidance that life is going to offer us.
Mm.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's good to hear. Thank you.
Mm. So let me ask you this. With this physical stuff, does it feel like you are having the support you need? Are you are things available to you? Does it feel like you know how to take the best possible care of yourself? You know what I'm trying to ask you?
I keep looking at whatever avenues or help or assistance there is, and just trying different things. Yes.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah, and I thought, you know, like one of the things is that I'm having a lot of problems, like with walking, but conditioning. Really wanted to say I couldn't go to the bridge walk because I wouldn't walk the bridge. And I remember last year I walked half the bridge, and I know the location is maybe a little different than it will be this year. But I just thought, you know, it isn't about walking the bridge. It's just about being there and celebrating.
That's right. Yes, that's exactly right. We don't even have to do all the dancing. We don't even have to do all the drumming. We don't have to, right, it's about being there. It's about being together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And I tried to, I was trying to combine getting to the precepts renewal with, you know, not having to fly through San Francisco or do something. I mean, maybe this time, you know, I had another location to go and maybe rent a car and make it like a little journey and bring my partner along on part of the journey, not the precepts part, and then I found out that airport isn't really even used as a direct flight anymore. I thought, man, I'm so outdated. And then it was like conditioning was just sort of like, well, now you can't do that. You just can't do that. And it was like, really?
I don't know that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who says so?
So I'll be at both. So,
uh-huh.
You know, it's just a case of as soon as conditioning says something or as soon as there's resistance, you know, just like, oh, for goodness sake, sign up.
Right. Yeah. You know, that's such a good point. It is really one of the fastest ways out of that conversation in conditioned mind. It's such a great way not to engage. You can't go, oh, yes, I can. Well,
yes.
That's not going to work. Well, it probably will. And if we just take off in our direction, we make our choice. Not in reaction to, but just what is my choice? Well, my choice is for this to work. Which brings me back to the physical stuff, because I had an experience recently that I sort of want everybody to know about. So, you know, talking about it on open air is often a good way to make that happen. I had a physical condition, and over the years, I tried everything that I knew how to try. Every time, and this is just kind of my orientation to life, every time somebody says something to me, if there's any possible way that it can apply to me, I want to do it. I want to find out about it. I want to sign up. I want to whatever. And so I was doing everything, alternative stuff primarily, because it's not a condition that Western medicine really has anything for. Western medicine doesn't tend to be good with you know, backs and bones and muscles and things like that. And so I heard about this doctor who actually is a homeopath, which I knew nothing about except knowing that there's a large percentage of the world that says that's quackery. It doesn't work. There's no truth to it. It's just made up. And So I started seeing this chap for a different thing, simply primarily because I just wanted to see what it was like. I wanted to have my own experience of it. How could something have been around for so long and be complete hokum? So I wanted to see what it was like. And through this process, and it's a fascinating process, it's very aligned with awareness practice, because the only thing they have to go on is what you tell them. So if you're not really in tune with yourself, in touch with yourself, and willing to be honest, they can't help you. It's not like a blood test, right? And so over the last year or something like that, this doctor was able to finally get to the root cause of what was going on with me and actually cure the condition.
Wow.
And this was something that anybody, just about anybody, including me, would have said, That is a physical condition, right? That's bones and muscles and nerves. That's not something that kind of treatment would work on, but it did. And so I only tell you that little story to encourage you in all of the directions of the answers to our questions can often come from places that we're really not expecting, and that same process of the voices saying, oh, that airport, you know, that's not going to work. You can't do that then. You can't go on that trip. You can't take him with you then if you're not going to, okay? And to have that fresh perspective always, to be in the present and open to what life is trying to communicate to us, because very often that no of conditioned mind is just simply there to obscure the direct information that we're only going to get if we're really present and paying close attention.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. It's so interesting to me. Awareness practice has so many applications. Of course, I would also be tempted to say it's everything. But just the level and the types of assumptions, beliefs and assumptions that are in place for most of us that we wouldn't even consider as being an influence in a particular situation. And very often they're the very thing creating and maintaining that situation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, it was interesting because one person actually said to me, do you realize that the knees are the only the joints that don't actually bend forward? They only go backwards. Where am I not moving forward in my life in this, that being held back in this, you know? So I thought, I can look at this as a really big picture.
Yes, yes, exactly so, Janice. That thank you. That beautifully summarizes that long story. That everything in our lives is a clue. Everything. And as far as I can tell, they're all clues to the same mystery. We're conditioned to believe that this is physical and that's emotional and that's spiritual and that's mental and that's memory and that's creativity and that's planning and that's... but no, it's all one whole. And we have all of these clues. And if we begin to see them as all pointing us in the same direction, I think we can begin to move a lot more quickly toward where we want to go, which, of course, is here in freedom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yes, those kinds of insights, right? But just those, okay. Yeah, and then what's the next one, and how does that fit with that, and how does that fit with that? And I'm not suggesting figuring it out or doing it intellectually or analytically, but just holding those insights and knowing that they do go together. I'm not seeing it quite yet, but I will if I keep paying attention.
Mhm. Mhm. Yeah, somebody told me about something. I've just signed up for I think it's 2 months once a week, and it's called Feldenkrais, and I thought, whoa, it's kind of like how to move your body in different parts of your body, but create new patterns and rewire your brain into more efficient and easier ways to move the body. And I thought, that's just going to line up with awareness practice so perfectly. And Lord knows what I'm going to find out.
Exactly. And the point is, somebody mentioned it to you.
Yes. And I heard.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes, and you heard. Yes, because, here's a clue. Here's a clue. And again, with conditioned mind, what we're trained to do is ignore it, figure out why this is not for me. I don't believe in that. That's not the kind of thing I do. And we discount it. And so all these clues are coming to us. Can you imagine poor Sherlock Holmes if he'd, you know, gotten stuck in that kind of conditioning? You know, I don't think that's really a part. That's not really a clue. I don't think that has anything to do with it. No, it wouldn't solve a single mystery that way. But when we realize and start looking at things from the perspective of this is one thing and I'm just not quite seeing, it's more like a jigsaw puzzle, right? All these pieces make one picture. I don't have the picture yet, but if I keep putting them together, I will. All right. Well, thank you, my dear. Does that mean you're going to be at the Bridge Walk, or is that what you're saying?
Yes, I am going to be at the Bridge Walk and Precepts Renewal.
Wow, this is starting to get very, very exciting.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Very good.
See you soon.
We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. And thank you, Michael, and thank you, Sangha. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Janice. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Janice. And Sherry, we are at the end of another great open air with Sherry Huber.
Well, good. And Michael, I'm guessing you're going to be at the Bridge Walk.
Oh, no doubt. We will be
no
there.
No doubt. Very good. All right. So I'll see you in a couple of weeks, but I'll get to talk to you before then, right?
Yes, we will. Next Tuesday. Same
All
time,
right.
same place.
Excellent. All right.
Thank you,
Sherry. I so appreciate it. Thank you, Michael. Good night.
Okay. Good night.